Welcome to ACC Nation. Will Ogen and Chris Bond and Xavion are here. I'm Jim Quist. We'll talk college football recruiting, but first this. Head to accnation.net and check out three killer ACC basketball questions. Will has a roundtable discussion with the guys. Find out who we think will be ACC Men's Basketball Coach of the Year, if the Pack or Hokies make it to the NCAAs, and the over-under on Virginia's regular season record, plus ACC WrestleMania. One of the best showdowns has NC State and Virginia Tech meeting up in Raleigh just before the ACC Championships. We've got a great story on how Clemson's softball program is finding the right ingredients as they build from scratch. ACC men's and women's golf, Georgia Tech and Duke are the top teams. Who are the top golfers? Coming up this week, college fencing 360 polls, the men's and women's ITA collegiate tennis singles and doubles polls are out. And of course, on Friday, we'll have the weekend basketball preview. Speaking of basketball, women's basketball on Thursday, Virginia is at FSU, NC State takes on Miami, and Boston College is at Georgia Tech. Men's basketball this week on Monday, Syracuse over Louisville 78-73. On Tuesday, it was Notre Dame defeating Boston College 96-85. On Thursday, it's Pitt at Clemson, Georgia Tech at Louisville, and a big game, Duke at UNC. Quick reminder, ACC championships are right around the corner. Swimming and diving, February 14th through the 24th. Indoor track and field, February 22nd through the 24th. Men's and women's fencing, February 24th through the 25th. Women's basketball, February 24th through the 4th of March. Wrestling, March 3rd. And men's basketball, March 6th through the 10th. All right, guys, the top college football teams for signing up hot recruits, well, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, USC, Penn State. So what do we take away from this list? And I'm going to go to Xavion first because USC is in that top five.
Oh, that the USC is probably one of the best closers in all the country as a program. It was a great day, especially if you were a Trojan fan, as well as if you were a Bulldog fan, because Georgia kept rolling in commits throughout the day. I was looking at my phone for latest USC news. News and kept seeing Georgia added this recruit, Georgia flipped this recruit, and then seeing interesting videos of kids, shaking and driving and making it seem like they're going to one school, and then all of a sudden another kid going to Georgia. So it was a great day if you were in those teams mentioned above.
All right. And here's something that I just caught a little bit ago on Facebook from Alabama's 24/7 sports site. They just put out a meme that says, signing the number one class doesn't make you number one. You want to talk about a team that's hearing footsteps? Will, what do you take away from that top five?
Yeah, the big surprise, like Xavion said, Georgia coming out number one. And like him, I would check my phone looking to see who's committed where, and it felt like everybody committed to Georgia. I'm surprised they ended up with 26 commit. I thought it felt more like 36, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, when you look at, they obviously went to the national title game and have a strong recruiting class coming in. They're going to be set for years to come. Texas with a new coach, a new opportunity to basically take back the state of Texas at number three. They should be set again for a while. And, Xavion's team, USC, they've been very quietly lurking there, and who knows, maybe they're back in playoff contention here within the next couple of years.
Well, Chris, your team down there in Tallahassee did well. We'll talk about them in just a few minutes, and a very surprising turnaround for that crew. But let's get your take on this top five. What do you see here?
Well, I see a remarkable job there in Georgia. That's one of the hardest places to recruit if you think about it. When you have, it's a transit state, they're not really, there's not the state pride that you have in other states in the South, like Alabama, Mississippi. It's very transient, especially in the northern part around Atlanta. You have Alabama raiding from the West. You have Tennessee's been, half their rosters from the state of Georgia. Florida and Florida State have been taken from South Georgia for years as well. It's a hard job to keep your guys in state. So what Kirby Smart has done is nothing less than one of the most remarkable recruiting jobs I've seen in my lifetime. And you look at the rivals ranking, they're the only team with an average star rating of recruits over four. Now, I'm just going to say it. They have been doing some serious bagman work.
We may be looking at a dog's dynasty here, man.
I'm telling you.
The ACC shows up nicely in the next five: Clemson, Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. So we've got two schools in there plus Notre Dame looking pretty good. So I'm going to start out with Will here. Let's apply the same question to this group as we did the first five. What are your takes from this? Because I think this is some positive growth.
Well, definitely when you look at Clemson only taking 17 commitments and still finishing in the top 10, it really shows just how strong of a recruiter Dabo Swinney and crew are. They landed the number one player in the class of 2018. I believe they landed number three as well. Number three, according to 24/7 Sports. You know, Trevor Lawrence, the number one player, like, say, a guy who very well could step in and play within the next year or two, probably by 2020, he could be the starting quarterback.
I'm going to make a prediction right now, Will. I say he starts next year.
Ooh, hot take.
Huge, fired, flaming room hot take.
I'm telling you, I have been watching this kid's film. Man, he's like a step away from being a pro. He is that good. I was very impressed.
Too. Yeah.
Very impressive.
You're not alone on that, Jim. I'm with you.
So, Chris, since I got you here, let's talk about what your thoughts are of this next five.
Well, Clemson, their average star rating, again, I'm referencing Rivals here, but they're the only other school besides Georgia that has an average of four stars or better. In their case, it wasn't a matter of quantity as much as quality. They didn't have the spots as Will aforementioned, but they certainly made it count. They got some stars we're going to have to get to know here real soon, as you're talking about. Now, as far as Florida State goes, I would like to see anybody else who moved up over almost 50 spots since Thanksgiving. Willie Taggart, what he's done coming in to basically a class that Jimbo Fisher abandoned and flipped at least four of them. We flipped a receiver from Tennessee. A big one was the defensive tackle from Miami, which was a big deal, especially considering they're starting two just left for the NFL. That sends a shockwave in the state here locally. Not many people hear it outside around the other schools here. It certainly made a noise when that kid flipped over. Notre Dame not far back there, showing that Brian Kelly certainly cashed in on his turnaround season and certainly making that one count. But certainly got to give kudos to Mark Richt, highest-ranked team across the board in the ACC. Didn't get all, again, the defensive lineman he wanted, but he sure nailed it at the skill position. So this is going to be a fun neighborhood going forward.
All right, Xavion, your hot take on this next five.
Oh, it was great representation for the ACC. I mean, Clemson, I didn't know that they had so limited roster spots available, but it makes sense now with so many people coming back. But to still, bring in the type of talent that they did, it's definitely eye-opening, and you can see that, Clemson's going to be around for years to come. As well as, both the guys talked about Miami, Notre Dame, even Florida State. Being able to bring in certain talent consistently is a big part in college football. And some of these teams are, we're going to be seeing a lot more of them, and I think fighting for playoff spots in years to come, to be honest, because we're seeing a lot of top talent go to specific regions and specific schools more often than not, and it's just going to improve the quality of football in these conferences.
All right, guys, here's the list that I've got for the teams from the ACC from top to bottom, and I'm not so sure that we can say bottom considering some aspects here, and I'll get into that in just a moment. It's Clemson at number one, number two Miami, Florida State number three, North Carolina. I had a horrible season last year. Didn't hurt them on the recruiting trail. North Carolina comes in at number four. Justin Fuente and crew at number five. Virginia Tech, number six. NC State, number seven. Louisville. Pittsburgh at number eight. Syracuse at nine. Georgia Tech, 10. Wake Forest, 11. Duke, 12. Virginia, 13. And Boston College, 14. Now, here's something I want to point out. First of all, top five star recruits in the ACC. Five to Clemson, one to Miami. Then we go to the top four star recruits, and that's Miami and then Florida State, 14 and 13. Then we get into the top three star recruits. Wake Forest, 22, and Virginia, 21. Here's the question. Are we putting too much emphasis on the performance of five-star recruits? And would you rather have a team chock full of threes or a handful of fives? Chris?
Well, based on percentage-wise, and this was an article in Rivals, about Rivals last year that I'm referencing, the percentage-wise, five-star recruits make it to Sunday more than any others. The ratings, although they are subjective, by and large, if you're a five-star recruit, you're probably going to end up making some life-changing money. On the other side of it, I don't think these coaches are taking players just to fill roster spots unless it gets down to the last couple days and they're really needing like an extra wide receiver or a tight end or taking a flyer on a safety out there. No, they're going for quality, especially when you look at Rick and Willie Taggart. Both of them, they took a lot of four stars. If you notice there, they didn't get the big five stars, but they sure got a bunch of four stars, and that is going to certainly help you for them in depth across the board.
All right, Xavion, let's get your take on this. Would you rather have a team chocked full of threes or a handful of fives?
A handful of fives, without doubt. You see the difference in ability from as you go down the list from five to four to three stars progressively. Yet, you know, a couple of times you're going to find a diamond in the rough from the three star coming out of high school is going to hit the weight room, is going to hit the film room and exceed expectations, but more consistently, like Chris said, the five stars are the ones that produce the top NFL, some of the top NFL talent, and the ones who receive those paydays initially out of the draft. So, without a doubt, I would take as many five stars as possible. But you also want to look at the type of players that fit your system and what you're trying to do as a program. Because, example, USC back in 2007, 2008 had a load of five star talent, brought in like 6-7 running backs. And none of them really panned out or reached any type of five-star talent. So it really depends on the quality player and the system that you're running when you bring in that player.
All right, Will, your thoughts here.
See, this is the difference between football and basketball in that you get a five-star recruit in basketball today, you get them from 1 year. In football, you're getting them a minimum of three, and you're going to reap the benefits of that definitely. So I'm definitely all in on getting some five-stars as opposed to a bunch of threes.
All right, and one last question for you guys. We've got a pretty big basketball game coming up. One guess as to who might be playing in that game. Duke and North Carolina. We're going to figure out here very quickly who's going to win that game, and we're going to start with Xavion.
It's kind of a toss-up because it's a rivalry game, an intense rivalry game, but I kind of see Duke, you know, turning around the losses as of late and coming out the victors on this one. I mean, the talent level is from what we've seen so far this season, is far exceeding what UNC has, even though UNC will be at home. But I just see Duke, you know, coming out on top. And I think it'll be a good 30-15 game from Marvin Bagley.
Will?
I'm taking the Tar Heels at home. I think there's something really wrong with Duke right now, especially when you come off such a horrible loss to St. John's. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I just think Joel Berry goes for 30 in this game. I'm going UNC 86-81.
Wow. Okay. And Mr. Bond, you get the final word.
Well, this is the 146th meeting between these two teams, and with at least one of them in the rankings. I challenge you to find a rivalry that does that. Yeah, this is the first time in about six meetings that Duke is the higher-ranked team. That said, I think Berry's going to have a huge game. And I like North Carolina winning 88-71.
All right, guys. Like the podcast, drop us a line, accnation@outlook.com. And be sure to visit our updated Facebook page at ACC Nation Sports. Plus, follow us on Twitter at ACC Nation. There's always something you'll be interested in from around ACC Nation.